Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is the scripture lesson from Matthew chapter 22, which was just read. The month of June is probably the most popular month of the year for weddings to take place here in America. Most young couples want to have a marriage ceremony that is both beautiful and very joyful. Every bride and groom plan for that special event that offers their wedding guests a festive time, as well as provides the wedding photographer with the perfect opportunity to take lots of nice pictures. And the month of June, with its warmer temperatures and blooming flowers and green landscapes, provides that perfect time of year for a ceremony that is both entertaining to the guests and appealing to the eye. Therefore, couples who want to get married in June must start making their plans many months in advance to have all those preparations ready. The banquet hall for the wedding reception must be reserved well in advance. Arrangements for food and beverages must be made months beforehand. The music, the flowers, the photography must be considered ahead of time. In fact, the amount of time and effort, the planning and the cost that goes into a typical American wedding these days is sometimes quite overwhelming. And of course, there's that difficult job of deciding who to invite to the wedding. After all, there's only so much space and there's only so much food that one must be selective in who receives an invitation and who does not. And we can only imagine the great disappointment that would take place if, after all these plans and decisions were made and all the preparations were finally in place, that the unthinkable happens, that none of the invited guests bother to show up. Not only would all that fine food and beverage go to waste, the families of the bride and groom would be deeply hurt and terribly insulted by all those who were no-shows at such a carefully planned event like this. In our text this morning, we have a situation where this sadly turned out to be the case. Jesus speaks a parable about a king who prepared an elaborate wedding banquet for his son. And when everything was ready, the king sent out messengers to tell those who had been invited that it was time to come. But those who were invited refused to come. In fact, the king sent out more servants, urging these guests to come, but the message was ignored. In fact, some of the invited guests mistreated the king's servants and even put them to death. And of course, the king was outraged, and he sent his army to destroy those wicked murderers and to burn down their city. And then the king sent out messengers to the highways and to the byways to invite anyone they could find. And the servants gathered together many different kinds of people from all walks of life, some good and some bad, and they were assembled for the banquet in the wedding hall. However, the king noticed that one of the guests was not wearing the proper clothes, and the king questioned this person and asked how that he managed to get into this celebration without the proper clothing. And this man was speechless. And so the king ordered that this man be tied hand and foot and be thrown outside into the darkness where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There are many great contrasts in this parable of our Lord. The first contrast is between the grace and the patience of the king as opposed to the stubborn resistance of those who refused to come. The king was kind and gracious enough to invite these guests to celebrate the marriage of his son. They were the ones first chosen to receive a royal invitation. And not only does the king send out his servants once to remind them that it's time to come, he sends them out again after the message was ignored the first time. This king truly wanted these invited guests to enjoy the wedding feasts. And from the original context of this passage in the Gospel of Matthew, we see that Jesus directed this parable primarily to the people of Israel, especially to the unbelieving leaders of the nation, the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees. These were the chosen people of God, invited to come celebrate the wedding of God's Son, Jesus Christ, who was betrothed to be united to his bride, the church. These once favored people of God were called to come and receive the blessings of salvation that Christ had come to bring. But yet these stubborn people refused to listen to that message of the gospel. And God in his patience continued to give them the opportunity to come to faith in Christ as the apostles of our Lord proclaimed the gospel in Jerusalem and Judea for many years after the church was founded on that day of Pentecost. But still many in Israel would not believe. And the apostles found themselves persecuted, even to the point of death, for proclaiming the message of Christ. And finally, some 40 years later, in the year 70 AD, the patience of God reached a limit, and the people of Jerusalem and Judea were punished rather severely by the armies of Rome, as the city of Jerusalem was literally destroyed by fire. The day of grace had come and gone for the nation of Israel after years of stubborn resistance. In the parable, the king's servants who were sent out to the street corners to invite anyone they could find remind us of how the apostles of Christ, especially the apostle Paul, went far and wide among the Gentiles to preach the gospel after being rejected by their own people Israel. And out there among the Gentile nations, the gospel was received. Many came to faith in Christ. People from all walks of life turned from idolatry to worship the triune God who had now sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Both the good and the bad of society were made aware of their sins and their need for a Savior in the person of Christ. And these Gentiles from all walks of life were welcomed into the church through repentance from sin and faith in Jesus Christ, being baptized according to Christ's command. And here we see another great contrast between the stubbornness of those who were first invited but yet refused to come and those who were invited later on and yet were eager to come. And this difference between the people of Israel who rejected Christ and the Gentiles who believed the gospel is vividly portrayed in this parable of our Lord. However, it's the last part of this parable that perhaps is the most confusing to us. For it seems that the grace and the mercy of this king suddenly change at the wedding banquet as he looks out of the crowd and he discovers a man not wearing the proper wedding clothes. And it seems now that this king loses his patience and suddenly he expels someone for not having the right outward appearance. And so we may ask, how can the actions of this king now represent the God of grace and mercy who invites unworthy sinners to his heavenly kingdom? But through the analogy of faith that we find contained in the rest of Holy Scripture, we realize that God is the only one who can provide clothing for his people that covers up their sin and their uncleanness. We go back to the book of Genesis, and we read after the fall of Adam and Eve into sin that God provided them with clothes made from animal skins to cover up the shame of their nakedness. We read in the prophets of Isaiah and Ezekiel about garments of salvation and a robe of splendor that the Lord provides for his people. In the book of Revelation, in the 7th chapter, we see that heavenly vision of the saints, and these saints are wearing robes of salvation that have been made gleaming white, for they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Holy Scripture shows us that God, in his grace and mercy, covers the sin of mankind through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. Only that suffering and death of Christ provides that atoning sacrifice that removes the guilt of our sin in the eyes of a holy God. Only the righteousness of Christ provides us those holy garments that are necessary for eternal salvation. Therefore, the man without the wedding garment is that person who refuses to receive the righteousness of Christ by faith. To reject the gifts that God offers in his word and sacraments is to reject that garment of salvation that covers up our sins in the sight of a holy God. To refuse to be clothed with Christ in the waters of holy baptism is to refuse the grace and salvation that were won for us through his death and his resurrection. To reject those words of eternal life spoken by our Lord, to spurn his body and blood in the Lord's Supper, is to remain dressed in the filthy rags of sin that are detestable in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. No one can base No one can enter the kingdom of God based upon human merit. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Heavenly Father except through him. This parable shows us that the greatest sin of all is the sin of unbelief. To reject that message of the gospel is to insult the invitation of our Heavenly Father. To try to enter the kingdom of God by any other means other than the narrow gate of Jesus Christ is to be lost in the darkness of eternal condemnation. There is only one message that invites us to that heavenly feast in the presence of God. And there is only one robe of righteousness that covers up the guilt of all of our sins. The message of Christ crucified for sinners is the message that invites us all to come to him, to that marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. And the righteousness of Christ received by faith is that only garment that can be worn at this heavenly banquet of salvation. There is no other way. And this parable also reminds us that those who have been called by Christ to be messengers of his word have a very important, but yet a rather difficult task to fulfill. The message of the gospel that we proclaim ultimately is either accepted or rejected by those who listen. There is no in between. Either a person is for Christ or he's against him. However, our job as servants of the Lord is to be faithful to that proclamation of his word. We do not make the final decision of who will enter the kingdom of God and who will not. Christ himself is the judge of all mankind, and he will separate his sheep from the goats on the last day. Instead, we are his faithful servants as we invite both the good and the bad in the eyes of this world to come to Jesus Christ by faith and to enter the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. For whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. May God grant us his Spirit to believe this invitation and to faithfully proclaim it for the salvation of others. In the name of Jesus, amen.